Today's reading is Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 27. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies 4 square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honour of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of a city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign for ever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they might have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.
Hello, welcome to Euston Church. As Tom said, my name's Kev, I'm the minister. Great to have you with us this Palm Sunday. Wynton Marsalis, some of you will know, is one of the biggest names in jazz music. He's a trumpeter, won loads of Grammys. So there was this journalist a few years ago wanders into a tiny jazz bar in New York on one of the quietest evenings of the year. He thinks, the trumpeter in the band looks a bit like Wynton Marsalis, but it can't be because he would never be playing a small venue like this. Anyway, four songs in, the trumpeter is on a solo and they all realise it is actually him. As the solo reaches its climax, the crowd are hanging on every note. People are totally captivated. And then something really awkward happens. Just as Wynton reaches the most dramatic point, somebody's mobile phone goes off. And this was a few years ago now, so it was one of those properly annoying electronic jingles. The journalist remembers writing on his piece of paper, magic ruined, as everyone started to giggle and chat and reach out for their drinks. But then he writes what happens next. Frozen at the microphone, Marsalis replayed the silly phone melody note for note. Then he repeated it and began improvising variations on the tune. The audience slowly came back to him. In a few minutes, he resolved the improvisation, which had changed keys once or twice and throttled down to a ballad tempo. He ended up exactly where his tune had left off before the phone interrupted. The ovation was tremendous. Now, that is not a very true analogy of the magnitude of anything we're about to discuss now, but it's a nice story. And it does kind of remind me of this passage in the way that Revelation 21 recaptures the beautiful melody that was so rudely interrupted near the beginning of the Bible. Magic ruined was the story of Genesis 3, ruined by the horrible ringtone of lies and sin and death. And yet, just as the master jazz artist weaved his song back to the rightful tune, so God is able to take the brokenness of this world and weave it back to his perfect resolution. In fact, an even better resolution than where we were in the beginning. Satan, that ancient serpent, had been the rude interrupter on a mission to deceive, to say the good life is not with God. That was his line of attack towards Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Same underlying battle for the Revelation churches with his beastly deceptions to them. Is God really a better provider than Rome? Is the flak you get for faithfulness worth it? And when loyalty to him means missing out on status and sex and stuff, is he still my good father? Well, it's the same basic battle for us as well, isn't it? All of our fears and temptations in the Christian life. And God has truly saved the best song to last in Revelation, in the whole Bible, actually. Catch a glimpse of your destiny, people of God, and see if you agree that patient endurance now will be so, so worth it. It's the sound of a wedding anthem we can hear in this chapter, because the last picture in the Bible is not a throne of judgment. It's a marriage between Jesus and his church. You may love that thought of being married to Jesus. You may have always thought it's slightly a weird thought. Well, this passage helps us understand why wedding noises are so apt to describe our glorious destiny. First, because this is all about relationship. Verse 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. At the heart of this bride image is the idea of God marrying his people and then moving in with them. Always encouraging, isn't it, when someone likes you enough to actually want to share a house or a flat with you? Well, great news. God wants to live with you forever. And sadly, the devil has so warped our thinking that you could think living with God would actually be bad news. Like moving back in with the parents, the fun police. But remember what it was like when God came to dwell with us temporarily in the life and ministry of Jesus? That was just a foretaste of verse 4. This is what it's like when you live with the Lord, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's such a precious picture. We know something of each other's pain. He knows about all of it. And it is important to say, as we talk about tears being wiped away, we're not there yet. Big boys and girls don't cry is not the way of things in the church, or it shouldn't be. Our future is without tears. That doesn't mean we have to suppress them now. The church should be a place where we express our hurts, be real about our brokenness, where healing can begin. But let's be honest, some of our pains run so deep they'll be with us for the rest of our lives. Our greatest hope is not that we will be able to take the pain away for each other, It's that one day the Lord will wipe away every tear permanently. And he'll do that because of what else he's doing in verse 4. See, this is so much better than just a hug from the Lord when you come home at the end of the day. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. What a promise after the year we've all had. We just want COVID to go away now. But imagine no more testing positive, no more testing, no third or fourth wave, because no first wave. No more anxious nights or lonely days or tragic shocks. No more pain. Just think what that has to mean. If no more pain, that means no more scars or racism or pain of childlessness. No more being afraid even to walk down the street. Because all of that's gone now. Because we don't dwell where Satan dwells anymore. We dwell with the Lord. And he has taken all that rubbish away. So stay faithful, Revelation Church. It's faithful unto death even. Houston Church, stay faithful. His ambitions for our future are so much greater than our low ambitions just for a pandemic-managed life. And I think the marriage imagery is at the root of verses 5 to 8 as well, as we see the Lord's commitment. See, marriage in the Bible is partly about covenant loyalty. This paragraph is actually a rarity in Revelation, as the Lord speaks to us directly from the throne in the first person. So it doesn't say he will dwell and do this. Verse 5, he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." That last part is repeated in chapter 22, verse 6. These words are trustworthy and true. No beastly deceptions here. One of my most vivid childhood memories was the day the ice cream van didn't come. So it always came on a Friday. There was a bunch of us kids from the street. We would gather at the end of the street where it joined with the main road, and we would wait patiently for the sound of Yankee Doodle Dandy to come cranking out of a bad sound system. This one Friday, the ice cream van didn't come. And I think the reason I remember it is because I was the ringleader trying to encourage the other children in patient endurance, which they did for a while, but eventually the other kids all peeled away. Till it was just me and my wee brother who stayed out of loyalty. And I think because I was the one that was carrying the money, eventually even we faced the reality that Mr. Whippy wasn't happening. And I love the way God and his word gets our insecurities, that he has to underline that things are trustworthy and true because he knows how used we are to disappointment. People saying they'll always love us. People making us promises and then disappointing on them. Far smaller promises than he's making here. He knows that even from those first few verses, we're saying the end of death and pain. Really? And the devil would love us to keep running with the thought of that question. Did God really say? Chapter 22 traces the chain of faithful testimony that comes from Jesus through the angel to John and back up the chain. And sorry, we haven't got time to look at that. Feel free to ask about it in the session later. But ultimately, the chain of trustworthiness here roots back to the very character of God. who not only is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, which means you can trust him with the end because he's the one who writes it. Ultimately, this is about his covenant commitment. Verse 7, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. That's a phrase you might recognize. It rings through the whole Old Testament wherever God renews his solemn vow. I will be your God. Takes us right back to Abraham. Ultimately, your offspring, Abraham, I will be God to them. And the imagery changes in verse 7 from bride to son, but the point is family loyalty and commitment guaranteed. And we really need that guarantee, don't we? So here on the very last page of the Bible, do you have reasons to trust that guarantee? As you look back over the whole story of him promising and fulfilling and saying, look, I did what I promised to do again and again and again. When the Lord says, I will, well, then the testimony of the ages as recorded in here is that he will. And that's why this is a personally spoken guarantee to you today from the Lord. Verse 7 again. The one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be your God. And you will be my son, my daughters, my inheritors. So, straight into verse 8. Don't give in to fear. The people who murder Christians in North Korea today are the ones with more ultimately to worry about. Don't sell your soul to the idols of Rome or London. It doesn't take you to good places. That must have relationship or job or pension that I must have, however much I have to compromise my godliness to get it. Friends, one day soon all of this will have passed away. Eternity looms for every human soul. Eternity. How often does the thought of it rise to the top of your to-do list? So you can trust the one who wants to be with you, who says, I will to you. You can trust that he will not disappoint. And then the bride idea again is at the heart of our final point, the radiance of God's people. Remember our tale of two cities, Babylon and the bride? The contrast picked up here again. 17 verse 1 said, come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute. Now 21 verse 9, come, I will show you the bride. And there are similarities. So there's kings still, there's nations coming into this place, there's finery. But where Babylon gloried in itself, the bride will shine with the glory of God. Verse 11. Babylon, a dwelling place for demons. Even the dimensions of this city speak of holiness. It's a perfect cube, like the Holy of Holies. Verse 16. Babylon, a haunt for uncleanness and idolatry. An abuse. Verse 27 here says, nothing unclean will enter this place. And all these jewels, it's describing the people shining. 12 is a number about God's people, not only loved and committed to, spotlessly cleaned by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing that makes you feel guilty or ashamed or damaged will be part of you then. Verse 27 partly means you'll never do anything detestable or false. That's to me one of the great miracles of what's described here in this city. The miracle that I won't ruin it. And there's so much more we could say in the detail. Come back to me in the question time. Bible in four words. Magic ruined? Magic restored. The tree of life is back. There's more people this time. It's a garden city. They're from the nations, verse 26. That's why, as a church, we're so committed to reaching those nations now. And no mobile phones. Metaphorically, not sure whether physically, hopefully not physically either, but I mean no more rude interruptions, either by the serpent or anyone. It's also physical and healthy, and we'll see Jesus there, and little old us will reign with him. It's just amazing, isn't it? It's overwhelming. And it's such a fight now to be the church in the way God wants us to, isn't it? It can look pathetic, the church on earth, with such a mixed bag, like the seven churches back then. Another report out this week about abuse by a Christian leader, we know. It's so disappointing. And what about us? We don't have the impact we want to, even at our boldest. We don't love Jesus like we should, even on our godliest days. Come, let me show you the people of God as you've never seen us before. And let it spur you not to give up on being the church. Jesus will never give up on the church. He couldn't be more committed to his church, his bride. And that's the reason that he'd written us, to tell us what's going to happen, to bless us with that knowledge so that we might endure. I wonder what worries you about trying to be a faithful witness for the whole rest of your life. Real worries. But how does this not just sing at us that God is so good? I've been wondering why we couldn't have gone straight from the letters to the churches in chapters 1 to 3, straight here to chapter 21. Jesus spoke about this chapter to encourage those churches. Would have made it much easier to teach Revelation without that stuff in the middle. But there's no victory without first the battle. No path to glory outside the way of the cross. The one who conquers will have this heritage. So can I say as we finish, please don't let our pastoral care for each other fall short of Jesus' pastoral care. Let's be sensitive, listening, empathetic. But if you never get round to reminding me about the city, then you're not telling me the things that Jesus think I need to know to keep going. I'll need this as a comfort and as a rebuke. Don't throw this away, Kev. And please don't let our prayers fall short of the prayer here. Great to pray about our lives now, our ministry now. But 22 verse 20 is the biggie. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Makes total sense, doesn't it? When you know that the future is this guaranteed and this good, don't you want him just to come back right now? I do. Come soon, please, Lord Jesus. Amen.